This podcast is a publication of the Engineering Management Institute, where we are committed to building professional development systems, including project management and people leadership programs that support the growth of engineers and their firms. Download our AE Industry Trends Report for insights on the Great Resignation, remote work productivity, and people-centric cultures. To get your copy, visit engineeringmanagementinstitute.org.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Engineering Career Coach Podcast, where I will be talking with Dr. Pamela Ellis. She's the founder and chief executive officer of Compass Education Strategies, LLC. We'll be talking about how aspiring engineers can choose the right college, the current role of test scores and admissions, and she'll also provide some great strategies to help secure scholarships and financial aid. I'm your host, Jeff Perry. I'm a leadership and career expert and author of The Intentional Engineer. You can find more information on my work at jeff-perry.com. And this is the Engineering Career Coach Podcast brought to you by EMI, the first podcast dedicated to helping engineers and technical professionals with both their personal and professional development. Now it's time to jump into the main segment of our episode. I am so pleased to have with me Dr. Pamela Ellis. Pamela, welcome to the Engineering Career Coach Podcast.
Thank you so very much, Jeff. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, and I'm excited to have you here. So we'd love to get to know you as we start off. So can you give our listeners a little bit of an introduction on you? What does the day-to-day look like for you? What are you up to, and how did you get where you're at?
Yeah, great question to start with. And I'm going to give you the short version of it. What my role is I actually work with teens who are college bound, and we work on all those things related to developing those life skills that they need to be successful in college and life, and then working with them on finding the right college and getting scholarships to pay for it. And so that's sort of what every day looks like. And I came into this role actually when some parents asked me if I would help them with their teen's journey. And prior to then, I had been working with schools and had just recently finished my doctorate work around high school to college transition. And so one thing led to another, and it's been about 15 years later, and I'm still doing this role.
Yeah. Well, it's such important work because So many people think and know, like, yeah, I should go get an education. I should go to school.
Yeah.
But how do you choose where you go and what you major in and all the things? That can be, there's so many decisions and choices there, and how to move through that. I'm sure that your resources are just so helpful. So I know, Dr. Pamela, you've got a resource or a concept you call the five factors of fit. And I want to dig into this and understand a little bit more about when we're talking to engineers and maybe the people who are listening here, either they have children who are thinking about becoming engineers as well, or maybe there are some young listeners who are listening and thinking about their engineering school or they're in school right now. How can these five factors of fit help people who are aspiring to be engineers in selecting the right school or college or program for them?
Yeah, absolutely. What I'll do, Jeff, is I'll talk about what those five factors are and then apply them to an aspiring engineering student. So the five factors are academic, social, financial, vocational, and cultural. And so the academic piece is really around what they're interested in studying, because there are going to be colleges that may offer electrical engineering, other colleges that may offer product design engineering, but really kind of honing in on what is their major interest. How do they learn best? Is it more with having access to professors outside of class? Is it in a large lecture? Those are some considerations for the academic fit. The social fit is really how they make friends and what things they want to be involved in socially in college. And so colleges offer an array of opportunities to engage socially and get to know others, especially for an engineering student who will have a lot of you know, heavy course load and homework assignments, still having those outlets for perhaps doing intramural sports or even having a club, you know, that they're interested in. Maybe it's chess club or something. Colleges will have those types of resources and activities as well socially. The financial fit is around what is it going to take for college to be affordable? And so there are so many different types of engineering programs, whether it's a four-year undergraduate program or if it's a 3-2 program, there are options that can support paying for those programs through undergraduate. The vocational fit is around what they're interested in doing after college. Perhaps it's going on for advanced studies, or maybe it's going directly into career. There are colleges that will provide internships and co-op experiences that can help with determining what they'll do after college. And so that's the vocational fit. And then the cultural fit is really around, however they may be different from the majority of students on that campus or in that department, how will they be supported and celebrated when they're in college? And so that's the cultural piece. And a lot of times the cultural piece can be about regionality. And maybe it's other factors such as gender, ethnicity, or race, or religion. However they may be different, how can they be supported still to thrive when they're in college? And so those are the five factors, how they may apply to an aspiring engineering student. And it's, you know, really important for students to think intentionally about that, especially given the rigors of an engineering program and being able to thrive when they're there.
Yeah. And even I imagine students who are already in a program or at a school can think about, how can I optimize and be looking for the resources in those areas that I can utilize better?
Yeah.
Because maybe I haven't been engaging in some of the social aspects like I could, but there
right.
might be some of those things that I'm just not utilizing or whatnot. Maybe
yeah.
I still am early on in deciding which major I want to do, and I can
right.
seek to understand what are those academic opportunities and is that going to lead me to vocations that I want to do. And so those factors don't go away even for people who are already in school. We still need to figure out how do we leverage those.
Yeah, that is so true. And especially for students who are currently in school on the academic side, there could be research opportunities or study abroad. And oftentimes taking advantage of those experiences can make such a difference in terms of what you do afterwards and just how you really enjoy and thrive during college.
Yeah, yeah. And Dr. Pamela, I want to move to perhaps a subject or question that sometimes people might not be too happy about, and that's standardized testing and test scores and how that applies or doesn't apply to different schools and programs and things. Because some schools have requirements around submitting those test scores, and sometimes there's
a
test optional application you can put in.
So
what are some of those factors that people should be thinking about when deciding whether to submit or not submit test scores, especially for those schools or programs that are test optional?
Yeah, that's a really big question. And certainly in this time of year, it's top of mind, especially for those who are sophomores and juniors. And so one of the things I'll start with is just sharing that you don't have to take both. And students have an advantage of focusing on the test that's best for them. And so I recommend, you know, at the end of sophomore year, beginning of junior year, taking a full-length practice exam of the ACT and the SAT to see which one is their better fit. And that way, when they are preparing and taking the test, they can be more intentional and really work towards doing their best. And for aspiring engineers especially, I do encourage them to take the test twice in junior year. And that will give them a solid sense for really how strong the score they have, how competitive it is vis-a-vis other students who may be applying to similar colleges. And at the end of junior year, you know, right before they're starting into their application process, that's when the decision is made around whether or not to send their test scores. And what I recommend is that if the college is test optional, really being intentional around still thinking about whether or not you will submit the scores. Because the truth of the matter is that students who have very strong scores and competitive scores, they're going to submit them to a test optional college. And for the admissions team, they can't unsee a test score. So, I mean, we do see that there is an advantage when you send in those higher test scores than not. And so really thinking about that in an intentional way. And right now, we really don't know yet all of the colleges' decisions around whether or not they will require testing next year. So like Georgia Tech was one of those who decided to require standardized tests pretty early on after COVID. And so I anticipate that other colleges will be also following along and adding in required test scores. And so students should really plan to take it twice in junior year so that they can still be able to send them if needed.
Yeah. So choose one test and take it twice.
Yes.
And really dial in and practice to get mm-hmm. good at that. And then you can be discerning around your strategies at that point once you know your scores and everything. Great advice there. Now, another factor, one of the factors you were talking about earlier mm-hmm. is that of the financial considerations, because college is not an inexpensive endeavor. It's quite an investment to do that education. And so finding the resources to make it financially feasible. So can you talk to us a little bit about maximizing chances for, obviously scholarships would be excellent to completely reduce the cost, but then also other financial aid options to make this feasible for students and families as they're considering their academic decisions?
Yeah, definitely. Well, the key thing for us in terms of how we're able to support our students with getting scholarships, even though they may not always qualify, their family doesn't qualify for any financial aid or need-based monies, is following those five factors of fit. Because colleges know if you are fit or not. It's important for you to also know that as you're applying. And when it's a good fit, they're more likely to offer scholarships. And so that's the first thing, because what we've seen is that the biggest dollars come directly from the colleges. And they will have monies set aside as part of their budget to recruit and entice students to come there. And so that's first and foremost as far as the scholarship dollars and things that students can do to position themselves to be strong candidates are things like having those strong test scores, because sometimes, you know, colleges will require that you submit the test scores if you want to be considered for scholarships. It's also having a strong transcript, you know, taking the classes that are needed and, you know, really focusing on taking those core classes each year and doing well in those classes. And it's also showing how you will contribute outside of the classroom. And so those are some key things that students can do from ninth grade on to position themselves for scholarships. The other monies that are need-based are really a little bit less control or less predictive from that standpoint, because that's going to be based on their parents' income. And I still recommend that parents fill out the FAFSA, even if they don't feel that they are qualified for any monies, because colleges can still see that and still offer scholarships. And maybe they don't refer to them as need-based, but they can make a decision around whatever they decide in terms of who gets money and who doesn't. And so all they could do is say no. And so I say still apply anyway.
Yeah, certainly it's not going to hurt anything as you put in applications like that. But great advice for thinking ahead around some of the ways to stand out and create that fit to the types of universities you're thinking about going to.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about the university experience itself. When I think back to my early engineering education, there's obviously, you know, accredited classes and things that we need to take to make sure that we have the textbook knowledge. But also there's different programs that will emphasize practical, project-based, industry-specific skills when trying to prepare engineers for the workforce and the opportunities out there. So talk to me about how students look into those types of programs and see the difference between what's the actual educational experience going to look like when it comes down to what I'm going to learn and how I'm going to be learning.
Yeah, that's a great question. And one thing that I find sometimes students do not learn about as they are vetting the colleges and really getting to see them for themselves. Too many times students may decide based on a brand name, they decide based on location without looking at that kind of information. Much of that, Jeff, actually can be found on the website in terms of actually looking at the specific department information, because they will outline the curriculum, the requirements, who the professors are, and some of the programming that they offer. And much of that may be intertwined with the types of projects that students are doing as well. And that helps them to really get a glimpse for what's going to be offered when they get to that college, if they decide to enroll there. The other thing is campus visits. I mean, I can't underestimate, you know, the value of campus visits. And so many times, you know, students or families may not prioritize those visits, and it really can stunt their opportunity to learn about that college and what's offered. And when they go on those campus visits, I say grill them, you know, really, you know, ask questions, find out what is it going to be like if you're there. And it's not just talking to students who are doing the tours, but also random students who are in that department, because they'll tell you how it really is. Talk to faculty, talk to administrators, talk to potential advisors, because sometimes the professor, they may have their own advising program that may be different from a professor being your advisor. And so just things like that can really help with knowing what to anticipate once you're in college and what the value of that program is going to be for you and your long-term goals.
Yeah, because you want as many perspectives, and you want to get deep into not just one person who's trying to put the rosy color, because that's the person who's giving you the tour or whatever, but if you want as many perspectives as you possibly can to really, while you're there on the campus trip, to say, what is life really going to be like? And the more insights you can get, the better to help you make those decisions.
Yeah.
Now, I think that ties into one of the other factors you were talking about earlier, and that's the cultural fit. Like, this is, you know, how am I going to fit? Because different schools are organized around different things, from culture and ethnicity to religion and other things like that. So how do students consider the different cultural factors and assess that when they're looking at options?
It's similar in the same way. It's definitely finding that out on a visit. And so, for example, if, you know, I'm a young woman who is interested in doing, you know, electrical engineering, for example, you know, actually going to visit that department, maybe finding out, you know, if there are other young women who are in the department that I can meet and talk with. Perhaps I'm from a small town in a charter school in South Carolina, and this is a college that's in a big city, you know, so I'll have that, you know, regional difference, you know, as well. And just thinking about, you know, who are some other students that have backgrounds similar to mine or look like me that can answer some questions about what their experience has been at this college. And perhaps the college has a club for charter school students who are first gen from South Carolina. I don't know, but maybe they do. Yeah. And that way they can be part of a community as well, because community is so important in college to really be able to thrive while you're there. And so it's about who are your people and can you find those people at your college where you'll be attending, and doing the campus visit helps with that. And if you're unable to visit, I would reach out to the admissions department and ask them, or contact the secretary in the department where you're thinking about enrolling and ask them, because oftentimes those administrators will know and have information around who the students are that they can connect with.
Yeah. And if it's hard to find those, then maybe that's an indicator too. Like, okay, if I can't find those people that I want to be hanging out with, then maybe that's an indication that I might not be the right fit, right? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So lastly, Pamela, I'm curious, is there one question that you really wish more parents and students would ask about this process of preparing for college as future engineers, but they just often don't because they don't know what to ask? So what's the question you wish people would ask, but they often don't?
Ask themselves why they want to go. And that's something that most students don't ask themselves, and parents don't ask themselves, in terms of why do I want my kid to go? And that should be the start of what everything else will look like in terms of the classes that they take in high school, what the colleges are that will be a fit for them. And going through that fit analysis really starts with what's my why. And so that's probably the biggest and first question that students and families should ask, because then that can help them to be more intentional and not just looking at colleges for the sake of it.
Yeah. Well, you keep using one of my favorite words is intentional.
Yes.
And I actually wrote the book, The Intentional Engineer. And so I love it. Because we want to be intentional on every step along the way, and why we're doing this. What do we really care about as we make these big decisions from where we go to college to where we go after college and all the steps along the way in our life? Being intentional is a huge factor to that. So thanks so much, Pamela. I loved our discussion thus far. At this point, we're going to transition over to our Take Action Today segment. When we come back, we'll get one more piece of actionable advice from Dr. Pamela. We'll be right back. Now it's time for a Take Action Today segment of the show. Dr. Pamela, we've had some great discussions around different factors and actions that people can take around preparing for and making decisions about their college or university education. Mm-hmm. As we end off here, what's the final piece of advice for those who are in this state trying to think about what they should do or where they should go as they make these big decisions?
Yeah, I would say actually taking advantage of a summer engineering program. So many times students may say they're interested in engineering without really having an idea around which particular area of engineering or if that's really the field for them. And so I'll tell you this quick story, Jeff. I had a student a few years ago. He was a rising sophomore at the time, and we had put together a list of programs for him. He was thinking that he was interested in engineering or perhaps pre-med or something. And so he did this program at an engineering school, and it was, you know, a class in the morning and then a totally different area of study in the afternoon. Went through the program, had a great experience, came back, and he was just like, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to do engineering. But that was such great information to know that then. And in the same regard, for students who are thinking they're interested in mechanical, do a mechanical survey summer program to see if that's really the area. Because maybe you'll find out that you're really interested in chemical engineering, which is different because some colleges may offer it, others may not. And so that would be the key action I would recommend. So if you have a 9th, 10th, or 11th grader, they have an opportunity to clarify that even before they apply to an engineering program.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Any exposure you can get earlier on to what the different engineering disciplines look like can help you as you make those decisions as you move forward. So Dr. Pamela, thank you so much for such a great discussion and episode here. As we finish off, I'm sure there's going to be people who are interested in connecting with you and your resources. I know you've got a lot out there to help people as they navigate through some of these things. Where would you point them to learn more and connect with you?
Definitely at CompassCollegeAdvisory.com. We have a lot of resources there, and they're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn at Dr. Pamela Ellis.
Okay. Brilliant. Thanks so much, and wishing you continued success and the great work that you're up to. So thanks so much.
Thank you so very much, Jeff. Appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today. We would love to hear your feedback, comments, and questions. You can go to engineeringmanagementinstitute.org, where you'll find a summary of the key points discussed in the episode, as well as links to any of the resources or websites that we mentioned in the episode. And don't forget to check out any upcoming live webinars for this month at the website as well. Additionally, for any engineers who feel like they need extra help taking the next career step or finding clarity in their careers, I've created some free training resources with an opportunity to join a more intensive program called the Engineering Career Accelerator. You can find more information at engineeringcareeraccelerator.com, or you can go grab my Career Clarity Checklist found at www.engineeringcareeraccelerator.com/career-clarity. Until next time, I wish you the best in all of your engineering endeavors.